Your free China Money podcast episode is made possible by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning, easy-to-use, and secure web conferencing service. Whenever you need to have a meeting with your business partners in China, why not use GoToMeeting to conduct online meetings that's professional and secure? Please support us by supporting GoToMeeting. Get a free 30-day trial only by clicking on the GoToMeeting banner on our website at ChinaMoneyPodcast.com. Hi, welcome to China Money Podcast, your source for local knowledge and insights on investing in China. Go to our website, ChinaMoneyPodcast.com, for more great episodes. I'm your host, Nina Xiang, and our guest today is Nick Cao, China Head of Investment and Capital Transaction at global property consultancy Knight Frank. He's talking to me today at the New Heights Restaurant and Bar at number 3 on the Bund in Shanghai. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Since the government launched home buyer restrictions in early 2010, China's residential property market has been going through a downturn, but the commercial property sector has been going through an explosive growth period. Some people are concerned about a bubble. Are you?
It depends. I mean, I would say China's commercial property sector has been less developed compared with residential and other sectors. After the government putting the controls on the market, residential market, people start seeing, you know, more investors or more interest moving towards this commercial sector. But I think we need to see two different groups. One would be the larger developers in China. They actually, even before this government controlling policy come out, they already start moving towards this commercial sector, China Resources, COFCO, etc. And some of the groups, I would say, they are forced to enter into a commercial sector because they can't do. Basically, the sales of the residential has been stalled. So these groups are mostly small developers. I would say these developers, when they're doing commercial property, they do it in a residential way. They sort of buy the site and sell after. So a lot of these projects we already seen are poorly designed, and some of them in tier 2, tier 3 cities. So I wouldn't say it's a bubble, because in China, actually, we lack of a lot of good quality commercial assets. Take the example of Shenyang. I think even we look at Shenyang today, most investors say they're very cautious about the city because of oversupply issues. Within 2 kilometers distance, you will find 10 large-scale mixed-use projects. So that is quite scary, especially when you operating the shopping malls, you just can't get tenants to fill in the property. So that is one concern about the oversupply issue in some of the city.
For the past couple of years, transaction volume in the commercial property sector have doubled. Do you see that continue?
I would say yes. Yeah. Because I think today, even whole China's economy is restructuring from manufacturing basis to modern service sector. And this generates a large demand of office spaces, especially in some of the old industrial cities. There wasn't any office buildings before. Even some must be scattered or sold, you know, very local quality office. But these days, these industry are moving towards modern service industry, and these requires high quality office. Even some international companies are expanding to some second tier cities in China. So that generates demand. Also, in China, government is promoting the domestic consumption. So that is also leads to a large demand of retail. Also, among domestic investors, some of the insurance companies, they are allowed now to invest in commercial sector. So that generates large demand as well.
We have seen residential property prices double in the space of 1 to 2 years. Do you see that happening for commercial property?
I don't think that it's going to happen that quick. in commercial, and it really depends on case by case. For example, if there is two shopping malls next to each other, one is achieve the very high rent, and another one maybe is even vacant, you know, because of poor management. So that obviously the price will be completely different.
But there are often reports about ghost shopping malls across China. But you think that's not the mainstream, the fundamental for the commercial property sector is still strong demand driving up supply.
I think when you're talking about ghost shopping malls, I think you still need to look at it case by case. I think in China, even look at all these tier 2, tier 3 cities, you hardly to find really good quality shopping malls. But still some of the shopping malls are just vacant. That because of in this city, the owners, developers of this commercial property, they don't have management expertise. They don't have experience. They don't understand how to run these shopping malls.
So where do you see attractive investment opportunities right now in Chinese property sector?
I think today the opportunities mostly come from tier 1 and tier 2 cities. In tier 1 cities, the problem is very short of supply. As we know, foreign investors are not allowed to buy asset, so they only can buy the offshore equity, you know, holding a structured property. So these property are very limited supply and has been acquired by investors already. So the quality investable assets are very limited. Most of these supplies actually coming from tier 2 cities. There really are very limited competition in retail sector. If you are very strong, you know, in retail, you know, running a retail mall. Retail always been a most interesting and most challenging sector. Basically residential, you just buy it and wait, you know, to appreciate in price and exit. Office is also more market related. If the demand, you know, expansion from multinational companies, expansion from local companies, the rent go up and your capital value go up. But in this retail sector, it really depends on your own capability in how to bring in the good tenants, how to run in the mall and to grow the rents. In the past, some of the foreign investors are actually over bullish about their own capability. They have done really good projects in overseas, but in China, the general market practice and the leasing practice, even the tenant are very different. So I think they really need to have some own local team, you know, in running the property.
So for retail properties, how much price appreciation do you see in the future?
I wouldn't say exact number, but in terms of yield, I would say when you go to, for retail especially, in tier 2 cities, you could get 8% yield for retail properties in good location. Because at the moment, the price level in tier 2 is far below tier 1 cities. And we're looking at the rental level for these retail tenants. Actually, they even could, if the sales is big enough in the city, they even could pay same rent, as tier 1 cities. So that means that there is a large room of appreciation for capital value.
But for local investors, they're facing fierce competition on the ground. How do they grab the best investment opportunities?
Basically, local investors, they are actually quite strong in local financing. They are strong in execution lens. Because foreign investors generally they take a longer time in negotiating a deal. Also, the local investors they could take a long investment life in one project. But foreign investors generally need to exit in 3 to 5 years. So that gives them quite a lot of limitations. I would say like 4 years ago, the whole investment market is still dominated by the foreign investors. But in the last couple of years, we already seen the local domestic investors already have been taken over 60% of the market transaction volume. So it's going to be, it's still going to be keep growing.
What are some of the most common mistakes for foreign investors when they come to China invest in Chinese property?
China investment market starts 10 years ago. When the investors first come to China, they normally, because they don't understand the market, they normally tend to find a large local partner to joint venture, from the joint venture. Then later on, after they invest a couple of projects in the local market, they get understandings. They start buying and bulk buildings. And today, at this price level, so they start, you know, looking at joint venture in the tier two cities again. I think in terms of that, the risk need to manage. One is the market risk. Another one is the counterparty risk. I think market risk in China exists in every city. Some of the city government, they have less, they are less sophisticated. Maybe after you invest in one project, and maybe later on, they put massive supplies into the market, which obviously leads to a large competition to your own project and affect your return. I think most importantly is counterparty risk. Many of the foreign investors, when they find a local partner, my advice is better to find a tier one big developers to partner with. If you find these small developers, sometimes maybe their cost level is lower. However, especially when the market goes down, you will find really soaring, you know, relationship with the partner. We have actually seen some of the big, well-known international investors facing that problem.
For the residential property market, do you see the restrictive policies continue to exist for a long time? And are there still price appreciation opportunities in the future?
I would say in medium to long term, this sector is still very positive. I think urbanization has been played a long, big part in China's this year's economic growth. Just I think couple days ago, the statistics are saying in next 10 years, Shanghai's population gonna grow another 5 million. So these large numbers all need a house. I think the residential projects in prime location will hold a strong, very strong. I mean, but in the areas, suburban areas with large supply, I wouldn't say it's going to decrease, but the price I think going to remain a very stable level, because when you're looking at the urbanization and in tier two or tier cities, some wealthy population, when they move to the big city, they tend to move to the most prime location. So, but in this location, you don't see any new suppliers.
But prices in central locations in big cities in China are already very expensive as in other international cities like Paris or New York. Do you see that Chinese mega cities housing prices can actually be more expensive?
I think Shanghai, Beijing, these big cities, the demand of luxury housing is very strong. Some of from local private, you know, wealthy individuals, because the whole China economy from manufacturing moving to modern service, and some of the manufacturing factories, I mean, they're going to shut down. So these owners of these factories, they actually are very cash rich. After moving to the big city, they need to buy these assets, residential assets mostly, for their investment. And I think luxury properties are really their taste.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions or comments, go to our website, chinamoneypodcast.com. Like our first page or follow us on Twitter, @ChinaMoneyPod. Thank you so much. Until next time.